Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, so your car messed up.
So my car messed up.
During the wine show, we're talking about transmissions and overheating cars.
And freeze plugs blowing.
Tonight's topic.
Yeah.
Surprise.
We are all about wine, though.
Yes. So how does that relate to winemaking?
Because it's my car. That's
okay. Okay. That does make the I see the connection there, yeah.
Yeah, it all pulls it in right there.
When the winemaker's car is overheating, that affects the wine.
That's right. Or my attitude anyway, which could affect the wine.
I wasn't going to try that one, but okay. This is actually all about wine, and you joined us kind of talking. We started actually talking like 3 days ago. And our call is just about to the point, and here we are at the show, you know. So we hear the countdown, and sometimes we just keep going. So anyway, welcome Blog Talk Radio. Welcome 1,000 Mics. I forgot to say that when they connected because we were kind of talking. But welcome to the program, and glad to have you with us. And if you'd like to give us a call, please do so. Area code 646. We are located in New York someplace, but it's area code 646-727-3235. So if you're located in New York, I gotta find out. I think it is New York, but if you're looking, yeah, I don't. I'll look it up. It's an actual area code, and I know it's. I thought it was New York or maybe California. Wouldn't that be interesting if it was? It's not California.
I don't think it is California. 646, I think is.
Well, I'll write a program or something that redirects it to.
Yeah,
California.
I don't know. Yeah.
It's 7:01, and speaking of California, tonight we are continuing with
California.
I had to take a sip of mine, so.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, that was good. Perfect time to do that. We have 58 minutes left in the show. This is all about wine. Ron with Florida States Winery is with us on the other line, ready to go. And we are talking about the North Coast. We'll be back in 1 minute, right after this.
We have a variety of different sizes of bottles that are available.
Welcome to All About Wine on Blog Talk Radio and 1000mics.com, featuring Ron, winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert with Florida Estates Winery in Lanza Lakes, Florida.
Basically, what we're trying to do on this program is just trying to educate people and let them know, you know, trying to make wine less confusing and more friendly.
We welcome your calls during this one-hour program. Go on air with us by dialing area code 646-727-3235. That's 646-727-3235. Ask questions about any topic related to wine or voice your comments about the program. Chat with us on 1000mics.com. Just click on All About Wine in the show listing and send your comment in the comment box. Always entertaining and informative, it's All About Wine. And now, please welcome Ron.
Oh, yeah. There we go. And we are continuing with California.
We are continuing with California.
Excellent. And because of the heat here in Florida, which I think it was like 150 today, we decided to bring the bus people in. Actually, they're not inside, but they're underneath. We have one little tent for shade, and we gave them all little portable battery-operated fans. So, you know, at least they're not getting the full brunt of the heat, but it helps.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's, we, you know, we try to take care of our people here as much as we can.
Like royalty.
That's it. Yeah, as much as we can. Yeah.
So are we on the North Coast tonight?
We're on the North Coast. You know, let me explain a little bit about the North Coast on it. The North Coast, everything I dug into, everything I looked up, everything, the North Coast included Napa.
Uh-oh.
All right? Napa, I want to carry as a separate category. I want to put Napa by itself because, well, it's Napa. So, you know, some of the wineries that... I look at North Coast, technically North Coast includes Napa, but we are not going to include it. We're going to pull Napa out. I think we're going to pull Sonoma out too and do Sonoma and Napa separately because it's Napa and Sonoma. And so North Coast will be our talk tonight, but we are going to hit a little bit on Napa while we're doing this and bring a few things in and talk a little bit about Napa also because, it is North Coast. So,
Okay.
For a long answer to your short question, North Coast, minus Sonoma, minus Napa, but basically, yeah, including them.
Okay. I guess so.
Yes, okay.
Sending some messages here. We have some people in the comment. I'm reading some of the comments here. Something wrong with the audio, I guess.
Yeah, well, we had that problem a couple of weeks in a row there.
Huh. Okay. Well, let me see if I can respond to them. I'm getting a slow deal here. So yeah, you go ahead, and I'll try and get them over to Blog Talk Radio or something over there.
I mean, so. Thousand Mice are having troubles with the audio?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Oh.
Something about microphones. Hmm.
Well, you're coming clear. On...
Thank you.
So, right. I don't know.
I'll find out.
Okay. Well, while you're finding out, I guess I will start talking a little bit about North Coast.
Okay.
North Coast of California, the North Coast winery region of California, that technically includes the areas of the northwestern coast of California. Excuse me. The Appalachians of California North Coast. It's the North Coast American culture area. It is a viticulture area itself, North Coast. So when, again, like we've talked about viticulture areas, AVAs, they overlap a lot. The California viticulture area, the California AVA, is actually the big one. You get wine from there. It's an AVA. North Coast is an AVA. So that's another designation. But the North Coast also has a lot of smaller AVAs within it. The North Coast AVA covers more than 3 million acres. This includes Napa, Sonoma, Mendocino, and Lake counties. And we have discussed Lake County, and we've discussed Mendocino, and we haven't discussed Napa or also North Coast includes portions of Marin and Solano County. Marin County is the county just north of San Francisco, just across the bay, San Francisco Bay. So that is technically... the North Coast, the area forms a approximate triangle of about 100 miles long and about 50 miles wide coming off the coast, which will encompass Sonoma, Napa, and all those areas I just mentioned. The North Coast is probably one of the best known AVAs in this country, the areas there and all that. It's mid-19th century, the mid-1800s was when the area started. That's when you started to see most of the wineries pop up. That's when you started to see most of the beginning of them, late 1800s. And that was has continued on now to cover over 800 wineries in this area. Napa, the area of Napa consisting of a bunch of them just in itself, but over 800 wineries in the North Coast AVA. AVA is distinguished, the North Coast area distinguished by the climate, soil, and the temperature, and which is the climate and all that, more so than anything. It is areas within the areas can be extremely small. There are some AVAs within the North Coast AVA that are tiny, consisting of just a few acres, and then there are some of them that are enormous, which encompasses a big area. We can't talk about the North Coast without talking about Napa, and so I'm gonna hit a little bit on Napa. I'm not gonna go into a lot of detail on Napa. I'm not gonna talk too much about certain wineries in Napa and all that because I didn't get a hold of some of the wineries in Napa. I was waiting for later to do this. And so what I'm going to do is, again, hit lightning on some of the stuff in Napa. The Napa AVA was established back in 1981, and it covers approximately 225,300 acres. It's almost all in Napa County, and it in itself, we're looking at about 400 wineries in the Napa area, an enormous amount of wineries. When I first started to go to Napa, I lived in outside of San Francisco a number of years ago, and when I first started to make trips, day trips and journeys up into the Napa Valley and Napa area, it you would start traveling up into Napa. You would get onto the main roads going through Napa, the Highway 29, which is your main road coming out of San Francisco area, going up into the Napa, to Napa, the city of Napa, and on up into St. Helens and all that. But Highway 29 back then consisted of a winery, which a fairly good-sized winery on the side of the road. And then you'd had vineyards and vineyards and vineyards on both sides. And on the opposite side of the road, you'd see another winery. And then vineyards and vineyards and vineyards. And then another winery. And then more vineyards and vineyards. And then another winery. And this is what way it would be all the way up into and through St. Helens and on up through the Napa Valley on Highway 29. If you ventured off of Highway 29, you would find vineyards, but not a whole lot of wineries. There'd be a few wineries that would be off. Now, perspective on this, this was back in 73, early 73, 74, 75, 76. And these were the years that I lived out there and years that I attended a lot of the wineries, went up to Napa and got to know a lot of the winemakers at the time for the few wineries. All these other vineyards that were located between the wineries weren't owned by the wineries. A lot of them are owned by individual growers. When you see vineyards all over that, and it's still true, when you see vineyards all over California or a lot of different areas now, it is not always vineyards that are connected to a winery. A lot of times you will find vineyards in lots of different areas, and these vineyards are maintained and are just for wineries to buy the grapes. They are individually owned, individually maintained, and then they sell the grapes to the wineries up and down the areas that they're in and all that. And you find this in a lot of states where you have growers that will grow just for the purpose of being growers, and then the wineries around there will buy grapes from them. This is what happened a lot in Napa Valley then. There was a lot of growers growing for the wineries that were in existence there. And this went on for a long time there until the, I guess it was the late 1980s. And a lot of these small growers decided that they would rather become wineries themselves. Instead of growing grapes for wineries and selling to wineries, they decided that they would rather grow grapes and become their own winery. So now you go to Napa, and instead of seeing a winery and then vineyards and vineyards and vineyards and another winery, you'll see a winery and then a winery and then a winery and then a winery and a winery and a winery, and just all up and down Highway 29 going into Napa and out of Napa into St. Helena and on the other side and all that. And it just is packed with wineries. And you can travel also away from Highway 29. You can go over to some of the main roads that run parallel to 29, and you will find lots of wineries there also all up and down. And then again, you go over Lacamas Mountains, which is directly west of Napa Valley, which, you know, forms Napa Valley itself, the western edge of Napa Valley. And that's your Sonoma Valley. And again, the same thing happened there. Sonoma Valley was a lot of growers and all. And then, again, it was late 1980s, early 1990s. Lots of wineries started to pop up, and from all the different growers decided to start making their own wineries. If you look at the start date, the original date for wineries in California, you will see a bunch of them that started in the late 1980s and early 1990s and mid-1990s. It just a tremendous amount of wineries popped up and started to operate themselves then. So, with that covered, about 400 wineries in Napa now, a little over 400 actually. Within that area, there are approximately 45,000 acres of vineyards planted in Cabernet Sauvignon alone. Phylloxera. I have talked of phylloxera in the past. Now, phylloxera is the little mite that gets in the roots of grapevines and kills the grapevines. Actually, it causes reaction by the grapevines themselves, and the grapevines die. This is phylloxera, and phylloxera is avoided around the world by being planted on basic American rootstock, and basic American rootstock was spread throughout the world after the United States gave France grapevines with phylloxera in it. It really did a number on their grape growing industry. I talked about this a little bit back when we were covering different areas of France, and it really did a number on the grape growing industry there. And because of the devastation of the grape growing industry in France, the United States said, hey, you know, plant that on American rootstock, you will be safe, you will not have to worry about it. And basically the world now is planting on American rootstock, five basic types. First type, the main type of rootstock, and I've got it written down somewhere what the number is, you know, 1ACW or whatever it is. That one, about 15, 20 years ago, got smacked with a second strain of type B, a strain B of phylloxera. When that happened, it really started to affect Napa Valley. A lot of grapevines started to die from the new strain because they were planted on the rootstock that was being hit by this strain B. So they replanted, put in the next strongest rootstock, the one that was more resistant to strain B, and they replanted. When this happened, they chose to plant a lot in Cabernet Sauvignon grapes in Napa. Back in 2003, for example, before they did this major replanting, Cabernet Sauvignon accounted for about 17,500 acres of grapes in Napa Valley. Now it's over 45,000. So it's they really did increase the plantings in Napa of Cabernet Sauvignon. It seems to be the grape for Napa Valley. It seems to be the one that people most like and most look for out of Napa Valley. Something else about the Cabernet Sauvignon grape in Napa Valley, it's these grapes. It's the same grape that's used in the blend of your classic Bordeaux. It's Cabernet Sauvignon you find quite a bit around the world. The Cabernet Sauvignon that's grown in Napa and the West Coast and North. North California there in the North Coast California areas is the ideal soil, the ideal climate, the ideal areas. Without getting a lot into climate change and stuff like this, I do want to point out something, though, since we're talking about the North Coast of California. North Coast in itself probably consists of the largest number of premier wineries in the United States. You know, when you start talking, and I say premier, you know, and it's a debatable point. Okay, it's not premier. New York has nice premier wineries, and so does Illinois, and so does Kentucky, and so does Missouri, and so does Idaho or whatever. But I, ones recognized worldwide, ones that people know about, the ones that can go head-to-head with just about anybody in the whole wide world, probably the North Coast of California is the best one, probably one of the best known areas and the best type of grapes there. Because of the climate, and again, the United States does not have a word, our English language does not have a word equal to the word French terroir, but if anything, that's probably one of the big reasons, the soil, the climate, everything in the North Coast is ideal for growing some phenomenal grapes. And then the talent from the winemaking communities like to go there, because if you start with a great product, then you know you can end up with a great product. Because of global warming, this may change. This and global warming is something that is happening. I mean, whether you, again, I think I've mentioned this before, and I'm not going to get on a soapbox about global warming, but global warming is a difference of 2 or 3 degrees is really all it takes to change an area, a growing of an area. 2 or 3 degrees temperature can cause the spring to be a little bit earlier. It could cause the fall to be a little bit later. It could cause the winter to be a slight bit warmer. It could cause the summers to be a little bit warmer. All of this can affect grapes, and it can affect grapes severely. When you start raising the temperature and the growing season and the nights and all this by a few degrees, you start losing that ideal climate to get the best grape you want. You start getting something that's going to cause the grapes not to ripen fully. You're going to get something that's going to cause the grapes to be a little less fruity, a little less full, any number of things that can cause these grapes to change a little bit. With that change, you will get a difference of taste. You will get a difference of how the grapes are. You can see this now. Buy yourself a wine from a warm climate or a warm area, and buy yourself the same grape from a cool area, and you can see the taste in it, because warm areas tend to be a little bit more acidic, a little bit more sharp, if you will, and the pH is a little bit higher. Whereas the cooler climates, you get a little bit more fruit. You don't have that acid. You have more of a fruitiness coming through. Because of that, a little bit of difference in temperature change can cause that to happen. Napa and Sonoma are right at that belt. The North Coast California AVA is right at that belt, right at that level, right at that area where a couple 3 degrees of global warming, a couple 3 degrees difference can cause a lot of grapes not to grow, can cause them to, well, not grow, but not give them the exact temperatures that is making them so great. This will cause the areas to move north. They're saying, and I say they, I'm talking about experts and people in the know and people who do wines and people who do grapes and people who do climate and everything, the experts, if you will, in the areas that look at it, have said that probably within the next 40 to 70 years, Napa Valley, as we know it now, is not going to be as powerful. The area, because of climate, will move further north. You're looking at probably southern Oregon or something like that to give you the same type of climate. Now, all those of you out there say, no, 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 that's never going to happen. If the global temperatures continue to warm like this, it's going to affect not just Napa and Sonoma and the North Coast, but also areas around the world. It could cause, if you look at the world, and again, I've mentioned this before, and since I'm on the subject, let me cover it quickly here. If you look at the world, there's two basic bands around the world where we grow all of our grapes. I apologize, I don't have it memorized right now what the latitudes are. But these two bands, if you look at these two bands around the world where we grow all our grapes, look at a grape-growing map, not even a grape-growing map, just a map of the world. And you can put your finger on the grape-growing regions, and it's like a band, both in southern and northern hemispheres. All these areas are warming up. They're talking about all these areas where they're growing the grapes now moving north. Different things are going to affect that too. It's not going to be just the warmth. Also, it's going to be where they're located, the climates and stuff like this. Napa is protected because of where they are. So the ocean's not going to save them. Sonoma will get ocean breezes, and ocean influence, and so it will protect it somewhat. Mendocino County, which is also in the North Coast ABA, Mendocino County has got some ocean effects there and stuff. But Napa can cause can lose some of its ability. So I want to cover that because we are talking about this area here because Napa is so well known. Just a little bit of difference in the temperature can make a big difference. And especially with grapes like, and what got me started on this was grapes like Cabernet Sauvignon. Cabernet Sauvignon is ideally suited for a certain climate and certain nighttime temperatures and certain daytime temperatures. If you look at Napa and you look at Bordeaux or, a lot of areas of France, a lot of areas where the Cabernet Sauvignon is king, you will notice a lot of the same temperature, nighttime, daytime, highs, lows, winters, and all that stuff. A lot of the same type of temperatures. You look at different areas around the world that grow similar grapes, and you will see similar temperatures because the grapes do well with those night highs, lows, and all that. And global warming can and probably will change some of these areas in years to come. Maybe not in our lifetime, but certainly in our children's and definitely in our grandchildren's lifetime. So, I'm not a soothsayer of doom, but it's something that I want to talk about on that. Chardonnay. Napa Valley plants a lot of Chardonnay, as do the North Coast. North Coast is a nice area. But, you know, region and everything, Chardonnay is planted everywhere, and it's amazing. It's really quite a prolific grape. The Napa produces about 5% of total California Chardonnay because of its area, and Sonoma produces just a tad bit less than that amount. So Chardonnay is really quite prolific in that area. Napa geological evolution, geological, if you want to get into it, the colliding tectonic plates in that area of California and the volcanic activity and all that has left a phenomenal soil there up and down loom soil that is that's been flooded and unflooded and left some great soil up and down Napa. Napa still floods too, by the way. For those of you who have never been to Napa, or those of you who are not familiar with Napa, Napa floods. Napa floods periodically, and that's why it is so important to look at your vintage charts, especially about Napa and even Sonoma. The Sonoma area gets some flooding too, and so. Be sure that the years that you're looking at have not been too wet, overlogged, flooded. The Napa Valley has been identified with over 30 different soil types within the valley from north to south. Napa Valley is Pacific Ocean to the west with the mountain range, the Mayacamas Mountains separating it. It, again, sunny, warm days, cool evenings. Napa, within Napa, has 14 AVAs. Again, there's your sub-appellations, your sub-AVAs. You can really fill up a bottle with your AVAs, California being an AVA, North Coast being an AVA, Napa Valley being an AVA, and then within Napa Valley, you got 14 others. And just, you know, just for fun, I'm going to tell you what these are and when they came into existence. The Napa Valley AVAs consist of Atlas Peak, February 1992, Childs Valley, April 1999, Diamond Mountain, July 2001 came in, one of the newest ones, Howell Mountain, January of 84, Los Canaras, September of 87, Mount Veeder, March 90, Oak Knoll, April 04. That is one of, that is the newest one out of Napa. Oakville, August of 93. That's one of the older ones too. Oakville's been around for a long time. Oakville Winery is fantastic, if I may say so. I've always loved Oakville wines. Rutherford, August of 93, same time as Oakville. Spring Mountain, June of 93. St. Helena, October 95. Stag's Leap, February of 89. Wild Horse, December of 88. And Yountville, May of 99. These are your sub-appellations, your sub-AVAs out of Napa Valley. I'm going to get a lot more into detail. I'm going to talk to some wineries and all that. We'll talk about more of Napa in a future show. But when we talk in North Coast, we have to mention Napa Valley. Sonoma Valley also. This is, again, North Coast. You can't mention North Coast and Napa without including Sonoma. Lots of people I've talked to have came in and said that they've been to Napa, and I said, anywhere else? Well, yeah, we went over to Sonoma, which is literally right over the hill, right over the mountain. A simple route takes you right over there, and there's lots of wineries there. More than 1 million acres of land consist of the Sonoma Valley AVA, the Appalachian there. About 60,000 acres are planted in grapes, wine grapes, a tremendous amount of area used for wine grapes. This also includes 13 distinct AVAs in Sonoma County, as is Sonoma County an AVA. So, again, you've got the breakdown of the larger Sonoma County AVA, which has approximately 517,000 acres of grapes, and then smaller AVAs, 13 more districts within that. I won't list those when we will be talking about Sonoma later, too, in a couple of weeks to come here. And I'll talk about the AVAs and more of that there. Chardonnay is the most planted grape in Sonoma with over 15,000 acres. All right. Cabernet Sauvignon is the next predominant variety, almost 12,000 acres. Sonoma Valley produces approximately 8-9% of all the wines out of California. So it's really quite a prolific growing area. Sonoma is about 52 miles wide, about 47 miles long, and is now home to a little over 263 wineries now in the Sonoma Valley area. On the east, it borders Napa on the Mayacamas Mountain Range or Napa. And the mountain range, they dated that about 2 million years ago. The eruptions of the mountain range have deposited the ash and lava that is the Sonoma volcanic rock and soil that you find a lot in the Sonoma area and up and down Napa, too. The western edge of Sonoma County is the California coastline, the Pacific Ocean, and Mendocino to the north of it, and then Marin County just to the south, And just south of Marin County is San Francisco, to bring you right back where we are and where the whole thing is. I had a catch there. Sonoma County area includes a lot of small little valleys, small microclimates, numerous microclimates, distinct microclimates. The Russian River is probably one of the famous ones. There's quite a few wineries come from there. Pacific Ocean, characteristics from the Pacific Ocean, the region there, just a slight influence can cause a little bit of difference within these. And the cool ocean, it really does make a difference. That when you get north of San Francisco, even in San Francisco, and just north of San Francisco, the water really is quite cool. The Pacific Ocean really is quite cool. It doesn't warm up a lot. And one of the reasons is because not too far out, it drops off into a big deep trench there. And so it's a constant coolness of the ocean there. And this influenced the land. It doesn't really get, when you get the temperatures up and down the coast in Northern California and the North Coast, it really is quite cool from the ocean breezes. And this does make a big difference from the cool nights and even the cool days. But then you get into these microclimates, these mini valleys up and down Sonoma, and it really influences the temperature changes there. A little valley that's shielded except on one side could have much higher daytime temperatures, but yet influence from the ocean cool it down at night and stuff like that just right. So Sonoma Valley is a good example of that and what happens there along the coast and everything. Just north of Sonoma, and also part of the North Coast AVA, is Mendocino County. And we talked about Mendocino County two or three weeks ago, I think. Actually longer than that. It's been, almost a month and a half ago now. But we talked about Mendocino County and some of the wineries in Mendocino County and some of the areas there and all that. And I review a little bit more details and stuff like this about the area, if you will. But since we are talking about North Coast, and North Coast is really our topic tonight. Mendocino County is also an approved American viticulture area, an AVA. It has approximately over 275,000 acres, about 275,217, I believe it is. Sometimes I read something earlier and I can't find it right now, but yeah, 275,200 acres plus. The total area planted in vineyards runs about 16,700. A lot of acreage planted in vineyards. About 4,300 planted in Chardonnay, which is the most planted grape in the area. Back when we were talking about Mendocino, we talked about a lot of the wineries and a lot of the areas that were planted in Chardonnays and a lot of the Chardonnay grapes coming out of that area. Pinot Noir is a very, very prolific grape in that area. And again, if I refer back to global warming, you notice we didn't talk too much about Pinot Noir in Napa and Sonoma, but we're getting a little bit further north, and Pinot Noir does flourish with the cooler climates and cooler influence. Same thing with Paso Robles. Although Paso Robles is almost an oxymoron when it comes to the Pinot Noir grape, because Paso Robles does get cool, but it's very hot, warm days in the area down there, and they're growing some great Pinot Noir. Same thing with Argentina. Argentina is coming out with some fantastic Pinot Noirs, but again, a lot of microclimates down there, a lot of micro areas that will influence it, and that's really what you're looking at. your classic Burgundy is your Pinot Noir grape. So, again, you look at the climates and soils. And if it starts getting warmer, we may see all this changing here. I'm going to take myself a quick pause here to take a sip of my North Coast Zinfandel that I have here. So if you will excuse me for a minute, Mike, if you want to talk, you may do so.
Yes. Thank you. If you would like to contact the winery directly, please do so. Florida State's Winery, located in Land O'Lakes, Florida, is area code 813-996-2113. 813-996-2113. Located at 25241 State Road 52, that's in Land O'Lakes, Florida, 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. That's exit 285. So definitely check them out. Florida State's Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Excellent selection of wines. I love doing the wine tasting. And Wine Fest, which I believe the next one is coming up in, 1 week from this week, from Saturday, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, excellent. So, we'll give you more information on the next show, so stick around for that. And, yeah, stay tuned. For the,
tune in.
All through the rest of, tune in. There you go. I was looking for the word. Tune in, and we'll let you know more about that. And have you taken your sip?
I've taken my sip. Thank
okay,
you.
Good. There you go.
This and is excellent. This is
back to the show.
If I can get my engineer to bring me a bottle, I need to talk about this wine for a second here. This is really a good. We dug out a Fritz Winery Old Vine Dry Creek Valley Zinfandel. It's 2000 vintage. It's a Sonoma, California, produced and bottled by Fritz Valley Winery in Sonoma, California. He says on the bottle, Dry Creek Valley rivals all other appellations for the perfect microclimate for Old Vine Zinfandel grapes. Our Old Vine Zinfandel is a combination of 50, 60, and 80-year-old vines. Rich, vibrant front with plenty of black cherry and deep raspberry flavors are apt descriptors for our elegant Zinfandel. It exhibits spicy pepper and hints of toasty vanilla. Toasty vanilla is from oak. For those of you out there, if you detect vanilla in any shape or form in a wine, that's oak you're detecting. Our subterranean gravity flow winery has produced world-class wines since 1979. So this is quite an impressive wine. I can't remember where I picked this up or how long ago I picked this up, but I certainly am glad I did. This is really a very nice wine. Fritz Winery, if you are want to grab yourself one. That was some Old Vine Zinfandel, but really, really quite good. And I don't know if you've heard that. I poured a little into the glass, so it was a little pour sound there. Mendocino, I was just talking a little bit about. Let me go into Mendocino a little bit more here for the North Coast. Mendocino is. Like I covered before, Mendocino is very organic. About 25% of the total acreage in Mendocino County is organic, highest percentage of any area in California. 10 AVA, official AVAs in Mendocino are wineries in Mendocino County. So a lot of growers in Mendocino County. Over 250 growers. Mendocino is so important in San Francisco, you haven't switched over like you have in Napa and Sonoma, where a lot of the growers used to grow for the wineries, like I explained earlier in the program, and then sold it to the wineries, and now they've opened up their own wineries. Mendocino is far enough north that you don't have the traffic, you don't have enough people for them to justify, for the growers to justify not selling it and opening up their own wineries, so you still have a lot of Mendocino wines that are grapes, rather, that are being sold to other wineries. And they sell it a lot to the areas around there, not just Mendocino County, but also to Sonoma and Napa and Lake counties, and a lot of the stuff that's in that area there, still giving it the designation of North Coast California, just not any specific smaller designations. Which North Coast California is a good destination anyway. So approximately 250 growers, about 62,000 wine grape tons every year. About 2% of the state's total tonnage on wines just from Mendocino County alone. It's Mendocino County, about 90 miles north of San Francisco. The region is got the coastline, California coast, on the Pacific Ocean on the west. Again, the mountain range, Maricopa Mountains, is still on the eastern edge of it and runs partway through the county itself. It's the redwood forests are in Mendocino County, so. Not only can you go and taste wine, you can also see the big old redwood trees, which are absolutely phenomenal. I've seen them before, and it's all inspiring to see those big trees. They are also Mendocino County is a mountainous region. The San Andreas Fault runs right through the area there, and San Andreas Fault is one that everyone's aware of in California. But it's what's created a lot of the microclimates. A lot of the county is covered in forest, coniferous forest, the pine cones and stuff like that and things. So most of the growing areas and all that are on the hills and in the valleys, the valleys that they have there. But a lot of forest on southern edge and eastern edge of the county is where you're going to find more vineyards than anywhere else. You get further north and further west, you're going to get the big trees and you're going to get more forest and all that. The white grapes are usually located in Russian River and Navarro River area. And red grapes are usually a little bit higher elevation away from the valley floors and stuff and a little bit more of a rocky elevation and stuff in Mendocino. But Mendocino does put out some great wines, and there's a lot of wineries in Mendocino. The 56 wineries in Mendocino County alone. You start looking at the areas that are that they're able to grow in, and it's amazing that there's that many wineries. Lake County, I've also talked about Lake County in the past. Previous programs, and all these programs that I mentioned are on available archive, 1,000 mics, 1,000 mics, and also on Blog Talk Radio. Everything's available on archive, so if you want more details and some of the wineries I talked to and all that on any of these, except for, again, Sonoma and Napa, which we will cover in the future, but these others are available on the archive. Lake County, western portion of Lake County comprises of the North Coast AVA. It's not all of Lake County. It's just the western part of it. Clear Lake AVA is the another area of Lake County, which that's what I talked about more than anything was the Clear Lake AVA when I talked about it. There is also the Red Hills Lake County AVA and High Valley AVA, all within Lake County. Lake County has approximately 8,500 plus acres of vineyards, wine grapes. They are planting a lot more. This is expected to increase, if not double, over the next few years. A lot of Cabernet Sauvignon being planted. And again, this is a northern area north of Napa and east of Mendocino. And the Cabernet Sauvignon grapes is starting to flourish there. It is a very prolific grape in that area. And again, I refer back to the little bit of change of temperature degrees on average over a year can make a difference in the growing of the grape. Sauvignon Blanc is planted quite a lot. That's the second most planted grape in the area, of over close to 1,800 acres of Sauvignon Blanc. There's in Lake County in the North Coast AVA, there's, 21, 22 wineries. The latest figure, I got two different ones. So 21 and 22 wineries. This is all within Lake County, not just the North Coast AVA. Lake County surrounds Clear Lake, which is the largest natural lake in California. And whenever you talk about Lake County wines, most people think of Clear Lake and that area there. And it is. It's a big influence on it. And a lot, most of your wineries are around that. And that's where you get a lot of your microclimate is coming off the lake, because it is one. It is the largest natural lake in California, and so it does influence the temperatures around it and where the grapes are and all that. The altitude makes a big difference. You have few pests that can tolerate the altitude and the cool climate, so it really does help the growing program in Lake County. But again, just a review on Lake County. If you want to get more details, refer to our archive program on Lake County. And North Coast, I also have to cover a couple more counties, Marin County and Solano County. These are just north of San Francisco, in that area there. These are smaller counties. Marin County is a very rich, expensive land there. There's some acres, and there's wineries there, but Marin County is expensive. Well, California is expensive, basically, but the Marin County, just north of San Francisco, is higher-end homes and stuff. A lot of people commute into San Francisco from Marin County, it was discovered quite a few years ago. 30, 40 years ago, Marin County was discovered as a great area to live and commute over to San Francisco. Golden Gate Bridge is packed every morning and every evening, full of people commuting back and forth, backed up for miles across a bridge, going into the city and miles, going out of the city every night because Marin County is so big. Marin County only has about 80, 85 acres of vineyards planted, not a whole lot. Only about 13 wineries there. They are scattered throughout. Some of the wineries there do pull grapes and get grapes from other areas and not just from Marin County itself. Simply because, such a small acreage there, they do pull in grapes so they can have a more variety. The cooling influence of the Pacific Ocean and San Francisco Bay really makes a big difference on the Marin County growing areas. Because of that, they have a lot of Pinot Noir and Chardonnay planted, and a early maturing Pinot Noir and Chardonnay is the major influence from the oceans coming off of that. The northeastern half of Marin County is officially part of the North Coast AVA. A small portion of Solano County is the southeast tip of the North Coast AVA. It has three sub-AVAs in that area there. Not really noted a lot, Solano County. Whenever you talk about California wineries and California wines, Solano County is really not mentioned much. They are pretty large and grape growing. They have more than 21,000 acres planted in grapes, but a lot of this is being grown for other areas. Again, Marin County only with 80 and 13 wineries, but Solano County furnishes a lot of their grapes for the wineries in Marin County. The cool influence of the Bay and the San Francisco Bay and the Delta areas and all that really do make a big difference in Solano and Marin County, more so than any other influence. Really quite cool areas there. The North Coast wineries, are really noted worldwide. I mentioned this earlier at the beginning of the program tonight, but the North Coast, when you say North Coast, people immediately think of Napa, they think of Sonoma. And this is, rightfully so, a great area. The classic areas, we've had movies made about how they have rivaled France in their winemaking and the abilities to make wines that are phenomenal. From the Gold Rush days of 1849 to the present, they have continued to dazzle the world with their abilities in North Coast area. Grow a lot of grapes, grow a lot of different types of grapes, and a lot of different soils, and a lot of different climates. It's just a great area for grape growing and for microclimates and for grapes and for wine. I keep mentioning grapes, but actually, you know, our point being is wine more than anything. There are a bunch of wineries in the each of the areas there. I called a couple of them. People were busy. I didn't get a chance to talk too much with them today. I tried to get away from Napa and Sonoma, and I tried to call some of the smaller ones. And a couple of phones, I just got answering machines. A couple of them I found that they were not wineries so much as I've got a blank. I can't think of my name. Co-ops. A lot of co-ops, a lot of wineries that work with other wineries and stuff, and they will have one master tasting room. A lot of these wineries from the North Coast do that, more so than anywhere else that I've noticed. They will have co-ops in different wineries in different areas. Will be co-op with others and have just one master tasting room and be able to share all the wines that way and get them out there. One thing I did run across is estate bottled. The term estate bottled that you might see on bottles. We're getting low on time here, so let me read you this here. So you'll see a lot of estate bottled wines coming out of the North Coast because they are. It is such a prolific region and is such an important AVA. You'll see a lot of estate bottled. So the estate bottled, if you see this on a wine, now this is through the TTB, the Tobacco Trade Bureau of the United States. This is the classification for an estate bottled wine. It has to be 100% of the wine is labeled with a viticulture area or appellation. All of it has to be from that area. 100% of the bottling winery is located in the labeled appellation. They grow 100% of the grapes used to make the wine on the land owned or controlled by Balling Winery within the boundaries of the appellation. Crushed, fermented must, finished, aged, and bottled in a continuous process. In other words, once you start it, everything's done at the winery. You can't leave it, send it somewhere else to have them do different steps there or anything. Everything's done there. And no term other than estate bottled may be used on the labels to indicate combined growing and bottling conditions. So estate bottled, you'll see a lot of that coming out of the North Coast. North Coast wines are phenomenal. We're going to go in more detail on Napa and Sonoma in future programs. Next week, I think we're going to cover the South Coast of California and then come back up to the Central Coast and end up last. Oh, my.
Yeah. Wow.
Last couple on that. Time snuck up on us. I don't know if y'all can hear that, but we're getting short in time.
Yeah.
And then we're going to end up in a month or so on Napa and Sonoma. So that's North Coast.
Yeah. Excellent. Excellent stuff. Excellent information. And this is going to conclude the show. We've got less than probably about 60 seconds left, I guess. And I appreciate everybody for listening and for chatting with us. Enjoyed it. And we will definitely want to catch you all back here next week. Next Thursday, yeah, there we go, 60 seconds. Catch us next Thursday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, U.S. Time, here for All About Wine on 1000 Mics and Blog Talk Radio. Ron, as always, thank you, and everybody, thank you for listening, and have a good evening.
And you can catch us on archives on all those, too.
Yep, and on iTunes. We'll be back next Thursday. Thank you.
Thank you.
This concludes our call-in talk show for the evening. Special thank you to Ron Hunt of Florida Estates Winery in Land O'Lakes, Florida. Visit the winery online at www.floridaestateswines.com. That's WINES.com. Email address for the winery is corp@flun.com. That's corp@FLEWN.com. Or call area code 813-996-2113. If you're in the area, Florida Estates Winery is located 4 miles west of Interstate 75 on State Road 52. The winery is open daily, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.